Call of the Dogs with Chintzy and Chi, coming off of a strong Georgia sports last 3 or 4 days here. Dogs are on top and finally seeing, I think, the Dogs that we've been praying for. And so there might be a little different mood going on than what we've had all season. It's been kind of dreary, and but it's looks like we're going to have a little bit different stuff to talk about this week.
Yeah, it's man, we moved this thing up to Tuesday. We've kind of been doing the Wednesday recordings this semester or season. I'm tired, man. But the we've had a lot of Wednesday recordings this season, and we moved this thing up because, hey man, Braves play on Wednesday and Thursday. We gotta be able to have those days where we can focus and pull them through, man. But it's just been a crazy last few weeks of Georgia sports. As you know, I was at the game last night where the Braves came back in the the last 3 innings of the game. We were on life support, and Bravos just came back and made some magic. And man, I'll never forget watching the Riley home run. Both the Darno and the Riley home runs were incredible. But the Riley home run just like blew the roof off the place. And then the catch by Harris, and then the throw out by Riley was like the cherry on top in this whole situation. I mean, we witnessed Atlanta Brave history last night. So it was the first and only Braves game I went to this year. So, hey, picked a good one to go to.
Yeah, I think you picked, as of now, the game to go to, and I'm hoping there are some more. So I just continue to rub that in because, that was prime time. Talking about to have that kind of turnaround. So excited for the rest of the series because I think the Braves, the offense of the Braves, they just need to get back hot again because obviously the best offense in all of baseball, zero question, breaking every record there is, and they just needed their mojo back, and Darno, he got it back for them, and so that's just need that one spark to make it happen, and then the look on Bryce Harper's face, you just gotta love it. You gotta love
it. You do.
So, but proud you got to go. That was awesome. Dogs play this weekend too, and I think we kind of hinted at the potential of this kind of game happening, but I don't think either of us were in the kind of mood to think that this might be the case. But Dogs came out and dominated. I think we knew they had the capability. I think we've seen glimpses of that all season long of what could be. And it took getting punched in the mouth at Auburn and then coming and being under the lights in Sanford Stadium for the Dogs to wake up and start to reveal who they are in the 2023 year. And yeah. I'm proud of how it wrapped up. I don't think we got Kentucky's best shot. I think we knocked the wind out of them and they could never recover. But man, did we have a good showing, and it was doesn't matter which way you shake it, you got an undefeated matchup halfway through the season coming in at night and a big primetime game, and man, did we not cave under pressure.
Man, we finally had a SEC night game for the first time. I know we talked about it last weekend, first time since 2020, and you know, the guys came out of the block, I mean, pretty quick. I was happy to see that not only were we able to score a touchdown on the first drive, but we strung together a couple of consecutive drives in that first quarter. And I'm pretty sure I know we scored 14 points in the first quarter. I'm pretty sure that's the most we've scored in the first all year. Okay. And honestly, we had not actually scored a touchdown in a couple games, I believe, in the first quarter. I know we didn't score anything against Auburn. So
we were averaging, you know, we averaged like 3 points in the first all season.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is not good. And for us to come out, and I think you could kind of tell a difference in the way that we were, there was a demeanor about the team. It felt like, okay, we've got this big obstacle behind us at this point. I mean, we're at a milestone, we're at a benchmark, or whatever, a turning point in our season, whatever you want to call it. And we've already kind of proven that we can win a game in a tight spot. And they came back, got comfortable early. Carson, incredible ball game, man. This is the first time, I think Auburn, second half of Auburn, I said it last week, the second half of Auburn was the first time I really started to have a good amount of confidence in him. Even though it still wasn't his best game, he found the playmakers at the right time and the right place. And he did it the whole game. I mean, he made a single mistake this game, Chancey, in my opinion. And that was the interception. The interception was a bad decision. It was a bad throw. But other than that, I literally have no qualms about how Carson Beck played in this game.
It's kind of like you almost had to – he had to almost, like, go off to college, go to that Auburn game and find himself.
Experience that.
and so we got some guys coming back from injury. We're starting to feel what this team is really supposed to be like. And so we go out needing that real play because we've almost been in, like, a preseason mode. I mean, it's really what it comes down to. We haven't had the competition. We haven't had the things that we've needed to feel like we are in the thick of the season. And these games we have to win every single game. And this past weekend, you kind of, to your point, you could start to see the kind of the shackles coming off of Beck, and you start the confidence kind of build up in him. And then he just came out the gate swinging because we've talked about it. He's got the arm. He's got the talent. But does he have the moxie, the mojo to be able to sit back there and command the game? And he did it. And you started to see our receiver. We talked about it. Our receivers haven't really stepped up. We're not really seeing them make plays. Man, they were making plays everywhere. Ra-Ra had a game. Rosemary had a game. You're looking at and obviously Bowers had another huge game. Ball being spread around, bounced back from his game last week, having his fumble to now he had some big conversions this week and then scored a touchdown. So really the ball getting spread around, you look at the stat sheet on receivers and everybody that touched the ball, I mean the whole team touched the ball at some point. And Carson has basically shown no emotion to this point. I mean he's been very not even stoic, he's just been like lifeless.
Even kill, man.
Lifeless. But this week he got the emotion, but he maintained control. Like there still wasn't ups and downs, but you could tell
maybe composure, I think is the word you might be looking for. that Kirby Smart fella keeps on talking about it. I don't really know what it means.
They're bringing it up a good bit, but there was almost a timidness before. And then you see, to me, I saw the turn last week and this week to where he's finding himself, and now he knows that, yeah, he's got the dudes. Just get it in their hands, and they're going to make plays. But not only that, man, he was putting those balls exactly where they needed to be. That first touchdown to Rosemary, I'm talking about, Rosemary never had to break stride. And that's what gave him the momentum to be able to turn that corner and go up the sideline and get in the end zone. I mean, that was a beautiful, beautiful throw. And then the rah-rah catch, I mean, you're talking about that was just awesome. I mean, we could go through the whole game and talk about it, but guys were making plays. And he was putting them in position to make plays. And it's like the simple – it's like when we drew them off sides – and we threw that ball to Rosemary, and he threw it to a spot that only he could get. Rosemary knew to come back, turn around, come back, and catch that ball on a big, big time gain. And it was just he just put on a clinic for the whole game, and it was fun to see him be able to do that. And now the team has the confidence. He has the confidence in him, and we're going to see that, I think, continue here going into the really the teeth of the meat of our schedule as we're getting on the back half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, that's I like the way you said that because it wasn't like Carson went from flipping a switch where he went from he's not making plays to he's making plays. It went from a level of timidness like you're talking about to him being aggressive, you know, pretty quickly, and you just saw a completely different, you know, I mean, I almost feel like my brothers and I, we talk about his body language. We really didn't like his body language earlier in the year. And even that, I feel like, is really kind of changed over the course of the last couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. So we're seeing this. What we're really seeing is this team is growing up in front of our eyes, because we talked about it. I mean, like I said, I wasn't trying to lower expectations whenever we were talking about this, but you got to understand that. I mean, this team is not only younger than some of these teams over the last couple of years that won national championships, but it's also inexperienced. I mean, and it's just not
injured.
These guys, yeah, and injured. I mean, goodness gracious, we're playing Cash Jones, you know, which I love Cash, don't get me wrong, but I mean, we're playing, you know, and we're playing Dylan Bell, a receiver at running back, and Dylan is playing very well. But I want to, something before I forget, I want to make sure that I mention, if it were not for old Brock Bowers just doing the superhuman things that he did in this game, this would have been like Ra-Ra's coming out party. Like, everybody would have been talking about his play, because Ra-Ra made some hell of a good plays. And of course, you know, Roseme said, is this, I actually just saw, he had 99 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And has he had over 100 in his career? I hate that he's like right on 99 in that. So he had a game against UAB, he had 94. I want to go back. I'll go back and look afterwards. I have to know, man. He's the kind of kid that pulling for, you know, he's a senior, you know, a guy who's just worked his tail off to come back from that injury in 2020. And, but it's good to see these guys. You're right, man, spreading the love. 12 guys caught balls in this game. Now you're talking about some of these guys were second string, third string, what have you. But you look at Kentucky's receiving their box score. They had 5 guys catch balls for 128 yards. I mean, they did not get a lick of offense. And Devin Leary, I think I kind of said it last week, it really was more important. It really leaned on how well he was going to play. And you know what? When you throw for less than 50% in a game, you're probably going to lose. So, man, I was happy to see our guys. Not only did our offense wake up and really just start to key in on, you know, where to attack that defense. I mean, our defense woke up and said, let's get staunch right here. And if it were not for that one interception, I think they would only score a single touchdown in this game.
Well, and I will say this. I think offensively, I think one of the things, we didn't have a lot of yardage on rushing the ball this week. But I think we were very strategic in how we ran the ball. And we kept them honest. And we really utilized play action to free up Carson to be able to make a lot of these throws. You could see the defense having to truly commit to our run game, because they knew because the run game worked when it did. We just didn't have to have it. And we didn't have to burn our guys. And our receivers were making plays. But Kentucky had to honor the run. And we really utilized that play action and getting a little bit of RPO in there to be able to keep them honest and really open up the middle of the field. And so the run game, like I said, not a lot of yards, but still important to how you go back and look at a lot of those plays. And it was us in the play action and being able to free that up and finding our rhythm there and getting consistent with that. I think we're starting to see what our offense is going to look like. But thinking about Kentucky, and they could not stop shooting themselves in the foot. Holy cow. I mean, they really did everything they could to lose this game. And that one kid threw, it would have been a fourth down. We'd have to punt the ball. And number zero, I don't even remember what his name was. He throws Van Pran to the ground, gives us a fresh set of downs, and we go score. And it's like, dude, how dumb can you be? And then just dumb penalties and things like that. And missing wide open. Devin Leary missed a wide open receiver. Would have been a touchdown pretty early on to keep that game, keep the game tight. I mean, the game could have been very different. I still think we run away with it just eventually. But the game could have been a lot tighter early and in a much more Kentucky-esque game for that first half, but we just capitalized. We took what they gave us and we did not miss on any chance to score points, and so I'm proud of us being able to maximize that. I don't think Kentucky's that bad, but I do think that we are by far the better team. But when they give you those chances, you got to take advantage of them.
Well, Kentucky. So they have, I mean, we knew exactly how to attack them, which was, I mean, give Mike Bobo credit, man. I mean, this was, you know, it's easy to say whenever you score 51 points, right, that this is the best game that he's called all year. But at the same time, I can see, you know, the fruits of his labor in this situation. I mean, it was not just a 51 points that came about. The way that he schemed to attack Kentucky, basically, it was like, okay, he knew. I mean, you're talking about getting those rushing yards. He knew it was going to have to be pass heavy in this situation. He knew that their defensive backs couldn't run with our guys. He knew that a guy like Rob Thomas was going to be able to take advantage of him, you know, with his athleticism. But then he also knew that Dejan Edwards was going to be a guy who was going to be able to come in and get a 7 or 8 yard run on a first down to set up a second and short so we could take a shot like that. And we really played, I mean, you know, this is a Kirby term. We played complementary football. And that's exactly, I mean, Bobo loves that. Kirby loves that. The team loves that. Everybody had fun. I mean, you see a box score that's got names you've never even heard of before on it. You know, that's when you know everybody had fun. You know, when you got the third and fourth string that are getting in there, you know, recording stats and things like that. You know, get to tell their parents about it, or you know, get to talk to them after the game and about how they play in this effort. It is a incredible thing that we have gone so, like, we're playing Kentucky, which is not like some incredible program, and it's not like the history of, a Tennessee or a Florida or whatever. We're playing a Kentucky, a respectable program, but still an SEC program. It's not a Vanderbilt, still a mid-tier SEC program. And we just beat them like a dog. And that, to me, is you look at, and I know we've beaten the crap out of Kentucky before, but, I mean, I can think about, I mean, we lost to Kentucky in 2009 when we lost to Kentucky. I don't know if you remember that. That was whenever we had, like, Caleb King went off in that game, and we still lost. Man, Caleb King, that's a name I hadn't said in a while. But it's that was, you know, things like that where it's just like, man, they used to compete with us, and now it's total and complete domination. I think, was that the ninth win in a row in the series against them? Something like that? Eighth or ninth? It shouldn't be, I mean, it shouldn't be that possible. Then Mark Stoops goes, did you see what he said? Was it last night or two nights ago? See what Stoops said?
Something about the buying players and basically asking for money from boosters. Yeah. And he's like, they bought a lot of good players. And he's like, you can do that now. And he's like, I need money to be able to do what they did to us. And I'm like, dang, come on, dude.
Look, I mean, I get it. Like, you're working with a basketball school, right? I mean, you're Kentucky. Nobody. The people that are donating to the football team are guys that, like, probably die hard. I mean, they probably do. I mean, they probably love it because they're like, man, I wish we were more of a football program or football school. But basketball is always going to be king of Kentucky, just like football is always going to be king of Georgia. Doesn't mean we don't care about the other sports, but football will always be king down here. And I'm sorry, guys, but Stoops, you're not going to get the level of donations that you need to be able to. But let's not act like what I have a problem with is, let's not act like, so it's been what, a year and a half since we've had a full-on NIL, like, quote-unquote, you can buy players or you can pay players or whatever. So you mean to tell me that 2021 team just happened to be a coincidence? We just made it all, you know, guys, you know, the 2017 team guys wanted to play for Kirby because, well, you know, why not? You know, let's just go to Georgia. No, I mean, Kirby is a NIL or no NIL. He is an elite recruiter, and he always will be.
Well, and I think Stoops has done a pretty remarkable job. I mean, he got to got to think, I mean, last week they beat another mid to low tier SEC team in Florida, and and they beat them like a drum. And
you almost made me spit up on my computer.
I've been sitting on that for a minute since you were talking about the tears. and I was at a meeting tonight, and I'm like, gosh, there was two Florida fans there. They were brothers. And somebody said something about football, and they were like, yeah, Georgia finally played a team this week. And I was like, that team beat your ass last week.
And you're at a church meeting, you're just flicking these guys off.
And it's like, we just beat you like, and we just beat them like the redheaded stepchild they are. And it's just so, it's so funny that how far they've fallen. It's such a beautiful thing. But anyhow, we've got time to get to that. But yeah, I think Stoops has done an incredible job at Kentucky. Yeah, it's awesome to see. Kind of crazy he's still there. Kind of wild that he hasn't been picked up by somebody else, by a bigger name program. And I still think that's on the horizon. But I mean, he's got a sweet gig there. I mean, it's pretty amazing what he's done, and he's built it up, and winning as coach there, very like second longest tenured head coach in the SEC now, which is pretty wild. But like I say, I don't think we got their best game. I still think, but we did on defensively. We did what we had to do. We contained, and we made Devin Leary have to try to beat us, and it just, that's not going to happen. I mean, we gave you the blueprint and on how to beat them, and you control Ray Davis, who had nothing. He had, what, 55 yards rushing? I mean, whatever it was.
Sorry, I just literally just changed tabs so I can. Yeah, 59. 59, so, average 3.9. I mean, and that's kind of what I said last week, is like, this guy really, besides when he played Florida, you know, the lower tier SEC football program, I mean, aside from that, gosh, I don't know. I mean, that was a great moment. But aside from that, the guy really hasn't done a whole lot this year. And so I was just thinking, like, man, there's no way with this crowd, with this team. I mean, this defense is getting better and better every week. I mean, the whole team is getting better every week. I know I kind of said that earlier, but it's noticeable. It's not just like we're saying it and we're making it happen. It is noticeable, and I think even to outsiders. I mean, a guy like Dumas Johnson, for instance, you know, a guy that I thought about before we played Auburn, like, hey, this guy needs to wake up. He is even, and he's an experienced guy. He even, in the last couple games, has been playing very well. I think he was second in tackles this game. Yeah. So Malachi led the team. So it's good to see that kind of progression throughout the season, of course.
Well, and part of it is the first four games of the year, we could just out-talent you. Like, we just didn't even have to show up to a full degree to be able to win games. And so we weren't forced to play as the unit that we had to be able to do those things. You think last season we started with Oregon. I mean, we came out knowing what had to be done, and it was a team effort. We were in sync, in unison from the get. Biggest game of the biggest game of the week to open the year, and man, we came together as a team, as a unit, and executed at a high level. We just haven't had to up to this point is one of the reasons I think we've struggled. And so going to Auburn, to another mid to low tier program of the SEC, and in a raucous environment, and need to get, and got popped in the mouth, had to come back, and that was that had to happen. And now we're starting to we saw what it took, because it was almost like, oh shoot, like we don't get to just show up in games to get one. We have to start to play. And I think our defense really realized that, yeah, our offense can score points, but we've got to do our job. We've got to do our part and step up to the level that we know we're capable of. And so I think we're just starting to see the maturation process of our team here, and becoming who we're supposed to be. We just knew last year, we knew who we were coming in. And the year before, we had a lot of experience. We had a lot of, we've had a lot of the last couple of seasons, a lot of returning guys that we knew who we were when we walked in day one. And now we're starting to see who we are. And it took halfway through the season, but I think it's not to say everything's going to be smooth sailing from here on out, but we're starting to – I've got more confidence in going into the rest of the year.
Who was it? Was it Herm Edwards? They are who we thought they were? Is that what
– And we let him off the hook.
And we let him off the hook. Is that – no, that wasn't Herm. No, maybe it was. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, man. That you're talking about – so I'm sitting here looking at the box score. You asked me about the rushing yards and whatnot, and I was talking about how – whenever you know it was a good time, whenever there's players that are on this depth chart, this box score that you have never heard of before, there's a kid who is in the top five of tackles for us. His name is Terrell Foster. I'll give you 10 doll hairs if you can tell me what position he plays.
Absolutely no idea.
I mean, you could have said defensive back or linebacker. He was a linebacker, and he's got to be some walk-on or something. I looked at it, and I said, is that real?
He may not even know what position he plays.
There's no way. Yeah, I mean, well, he is a linebacker, but there's just no way. Hey, you know, I think he's got to be a walk-on. He was number 30, old Tay Crowder. But yeah, man, and you know, you sit back and you look at this game from a 1,000-foot view, right? And what did we accomplish? And we accomplished exactly what Kirby wants it to be. He wants it to just be another, you know, notch. Notch in the rope. I mean, he's just, at this point, he's just looking for something to where we can get some success. And then all he can do is just say, we're really not that good. Or he can criticize, and break it down and just really make it where we get the success, we get the experience, but we stay humble and stay composed. And that's, I think, you know, he's just as, I don't know how much of this stuff is coming from Kirby's brain, or if he's got like 30 different sports psychologists playing, working for the team at this point. I mean, I don't know. That whole story about whenever, was it South Carolina game, whenever that story about that came out about him, how he was about to walk through the doors to basically cuss his team out, and the sports psychologist for the football team kind of pulled him aside and was like, you know, y'all got to take it one step at a time, one play at a time, you know, get one small win that adds up to a lot of big wins, kind of thing. And then that was something that was said in his speech, as we saw on the SEC Inside episode. And you got to think, like, man, it's you know, how much is that sports psychologist really, not so much for the team as much as it is for him, you know, kind of thing. And I don't know how much that's, I mean, regardless, I know he thinks he wants to use any weapon that's at his disposal, and he's happy for it to be him that's having to adapt. And I love that about him. I mean, I think that shows true leadership. And if he's able to, oh, hey, look, I mean, I know Kirby's not a humble guy. You don't have to see very far to be able to see that. But, I mean, you're talking about a guy, if he can stop before he's about to walk in, obviously he's about to lose it on this football team. And if he's able to stop for 3 seconds and talk to the sports psychologist guy before he walks in and know what he needs to say at the right time, that just says a lot to me about who he is as a football coach and as a role model, honestly, for these football players.
Well, as we're talking about the team growing into themselves, we're starting to see a tenured head coach, 2-time national championship winning head coach, who has created a team of winning coaches, experienced coaches to surround himself with, and then also with a staff to, because Kirby, I mean, he'll be the first one to tell you, he'll give the credit to whoever, like he's going to give the credit to whoever deserves it, and he knows it's a huge operation. But we're starting to see him change too. We're starting to see him grow as a coach, because the two national championship teams, very similar in a lot of ways, still different. And but you're having to reinvent yourself every year to, as you say, adapt to the team that you have. And what I say to one guy, because how can you stand up in front of a group of 100 guys or 80 guys and be able to say everything that needs to be said to get the point across, because everybody's interpreting that different. I mean, there's a whole discussion there around why, like the thought process behind being a leader and being able to manage these 18 to 20, 22-year-olds and being able to get them to come together as the unit that we got to see on Saturday through relentless relentless practicing, relentless execution, just try the fine details. And whenever you get those fine details under control, you see what happened on Saturday, and these guys start to see the fun in executing at a high level. And because when you start to execute and you start to do the little things right, then that's when the game becomes fun. That's when you start to have these big wins. That's when you can come out and have the confidence to say, we don't care who you are, we're going to beat you. Like, we're going to win this game. And this team is showing early on that they have that confidence and have that ability to come back. And then also, too, to be able to just, whenever they're going, they can stomp you out. And yeah. And so we got to see that. The defense is getting to where now where they're starting to feel this. And like I say, Kentucky's not very flashy in their offense. There's not a lot there you have to be concerned about. If you can stop their main weapon, then they don't have anything else to back it up. But still a potent offense either way you shake a stick at it. And we snuffed them out completely. And it was a good matchup for us. And not to say that's how every game's going to look for the rest of the year, but I think this team and the coaching staff, including Bobo into that, everybody's starting to realize where their part is in all this and how to be at the highest level of the game.
I feel like Bobo, this Kentucky game, I feel like he really just a completely different mindset. I mean, it didn't even look like the same types of plays that we were running. Compared to the South Carolina game, you know, whenever we came out so flat in the first half, I just really feel like he is realizing, you know, you're right. I mean, he's learning. Everybody's learning. The players are learning. The coaching staff is learning. Honestly, one of the few spots that we have turnover in the coaching staff this year is Mike Bobo. So it's refreshing to see that we have adapted at every level of this team, and we're seeing guys. I mean, you got guys buying in, and it makes me laugh whenever guys like Stoops, and I don't honestly, with that comment about buying players and whatnot, I really don't dislike Stoops. And I mean, he, even after saying something like that, there's really no bad blood. To me, that sounded like it was more of a, he's trying to motivate his donors in his program. But at the same time, you look at it, and I can't help but laugh, because the guys that we have on this defense right now, I'm just looking at the defense, not thinking about the offense. And to be honest with you, the offense is pretty similar. But this defense right now, I mean, some high-level players, but you think about, like, you know, top elite talent guys as far as a prospect is concerned. We have two guys that were, you know, quote unquote, composite five-star guys, and that's Malachi and Mikel. Mikel and Malachi were the two, you know, five-star prospects. But then right next to Malachi, you got Javon Bullard, who came out of nowhere, three-star guy, who is, you know, really on par with playing the same. I mean, Malachi and Javon are playing at a level right now that, thank God, we have them at safety, both of them. Because that move, that was brilliant to move Javon back there, because it makes me feel so much. I mean, no, not trying to insult David Daniel at all, but dude, you put 22 back there in that spot next to 24, and it is a completely different ball game. I mean, I'm like, man, y'all try to throw past those guys, it ain't gonna happen. But then you look at, you know, a guy like Kamari, who was also kind of a low four-star player. And then, you know, Dalen, who, you know, we've kind of been under some scrutiny. But, I mean, that front seven is full of guys who are not like the elite of elite guys. I think the highest-ranked guy, besides Mikel, the highest-ranked guy was Munden, I believe, and he's played well. But then you got Dumas, who's the leader of the defense. You got Stackhouse, who, you know, was a four-star prospect who really turned into – being a solid player. He kind of reminiscent of the whole Devontae Wyatt situation, right? And I'm looking at this and I'm like, man, this program is not just a bring in, you know, we're not a USC offense, right? This is a team that you're bringing in guys and you're building on success, and you're also building on these guys' development and stacking wins on wins on wins. And you got guys, it's not just a talent level too. That's the biggest thing to me. It's not just a, hey, these are our top tier players. These are guys that have to buy into Kirby Smart's team, his program, and how he runs his program. And that's, to me, in that mindset that comes along with all of that. But that to me just made me think. I mean, I respect Stoops. You know, think he's, and I agree, he's done a great job at Kentucky. He's really turned that program around. But, you know, that's the kind of stuff that made me laugh whenever I saw those comments come out.
That's the equivalent of throwing your sucker in the dirt and not having it your way and wanting it your way. And, but either way, I think overall, even special teams haven't even talked about that. I mean, kicking game improving. We made our kicks this past week. I mean, I think we're just top to bottom doing things the right way and starting to hit our trajectory in terms of who we are as a team. And I think we've talked about that. I mean, that's what we've been talking about all day today is that we're hitting our stride at the right time, and so I'm excited about where we're headed, and as we're, because gosh, man, we're halfway through the season. I can't even wrap my head around it.
6-0, 3-0 in the SEC. It's just a wild time. This is always one of the worst like couple weeks in a row. Like, you play Vanderbilt, you and I are never the ones to be like, hey, we're about to dominate them like a team. Like, you know, we're not going to count our chickens before they hatch, but man, Vanderbilt's so bad. They're so bad. And then you sit there and you have one of the better, as a terrible program, you have one of the better logos in all of the SEC. And then you go and change it. They're not going to win crap the rest of the year. And that's the problem, is that you and I and the rest of the SEC are sitting here thinking about Vanderbilt's place in football. Now, of course, they have an incredible baseball program. They had a pretty good basketball program. But, man, it sucks to have to play them and then have it be away. And honestly, I would rather be away, because I really don't want to go to a Vanderbilt game. I don't want to go watch us just mop the floor with Vanderbilt. Because that's one of those games that if I go with my wife, she's going to make me leave in about a quarter, maybe quarter and a half. But that Vanderbilt game being the Vanderbilt game being right before our bye week, it just sucks. And I'm not going to Georgia, Florida, so maybe that makes it a little bit worse. I don't know if you're planning on going down there, but it's just kind of like this 3-week stretch. Honestly, I went from 2 to 3, but the 3-week stretch, I'm just like, just get me to whenever we play in Jacksonville. That's all I need.
Well, it's been, like I say, this season logistically has just been awful. I mean, just a terrible year in terms of all these home games, then an away game, then one home game, and then we don't see Sanford Stadium for another month. Like, it's wild how this all shook out. But I'm hoping we can maintain this momentum going into, like I say, handle business at Vandy. They are terrible. Ray Davis, their only ray of sunshine, went to Kentucky. But I think keep the momentum, get healthy, and ride that into going into Jacksonville. And because Florida's going to come with a vengeance too. I mean, they're going to lay everything out there. And so we're going to get everybody's best shot. And even Vandy, we're going to get Vandy's best shot, whatever that may look like. I don't know what that is or who's going to do it, because I could not tell you the first player on their team. But they're going to do it. They're going to give it their best shot. I think at one point, the first game of the season, their scoreboard was being held up by a crane when they played Hawaii. And they were getting their field or their stadium redone. And you know you're in shambles when that kind of stuff's going on. It's just not great.
I think it still is. Is it not?
Probably.
I mean, I think it's...
Probably.
I mean, who's watching a Vanderbilt game? I will say my dumbass was watching that Hawaii-Vanderbilt game. I watched a little bit of it. I watched a lot of it. I think I watched the whole thing.
Just a crackhead needing crack at that point.
That's exactly. It was week zero, man, and I was just like, "Yep, I'm gonna stay up and watch this game," you know. So, and it wasn't even good. Well, I say it wasn't even good. Hawaii started to come back. I can't even remember. I mean, I can't even believe that I remember what happened. But yeah, that was a low point in my. You know, that's a problem. Is that, you know, and we had I think our buddy Tyler sent us a tweet that somebody sent out that was like. There was a certain point a few weeks ago where they were like, there's only one day without football, period, like college football or NFL, until like sometime at the end of November or December or something like that. And that's the kind of stuff that I'm just like, I'll sit there and watch. I'm like, I think somebody's playing right now. Somebody's playing on Tuesday night. But there's... Coastal Carolina's playing either tonight or tomorrow night. Like, I look at a schedule, I'm like, yeah, you know, this is gonna be on TV. I might as well watch a little bit. So, but that's yeah, that's neither here nor there. Vanderbilt is the only team, the only player that I can name from their team was AJ Swan, who's the quarterback, and I guess he's still starting. I don't know, but they're so bad, it's not even worth. We're not going to name this a preview of Vanderbilt. This is going to be something else because it's not a Vanderbilt preview. And I have no problem with, you know, there's no knock on wood kind of thing. This Vanderbilt team is terrible. It's honestly UAB and maybe UT Martin would probably beat them. I don't know. They lost to UNLV. UNLV, a program who is, I mean, lost to some terrible football teams over the last couple of years. And so anyway,
the big thing is stay healthy. Just
you gotta stay,
get in
stay.
There, score a bunch of points, let everybody get to go in and play. Don't nobody try to be a hero. Just get out of there alive and keep on rolling. But I will say it is fun. If you've never done a game in Nashville, go into this game. It's a good time. It's basically a Georgia home game. In Nashville, and that's always a fun time. So highly recommend it if you've never done it. Anybody listening, it's always a good trip.
I remember, I'll never forget. Whenever we weren't there, but we lost to them Murray's senior year, our senior year. Is that the last time that we lost to him? No, we lost to him whenever Kirby's first year. That was the last time we lost him in Nashville, though, I believe. No. We lost to him. Did we lose to him in 2015 as well?
I can't remember. I've repressed a lot of that.
That's a good point. But anyway, yeah. So there's no reason to worry. We're gonna just take care of Vanderbilt. I don't know what other good games are going on this weekend. I'm excited. I always go, you know, star the good games of the year and every week, and I'm gonna have to do that before I go to bed tonight because I need to have something to watch this weekend.
We got A&M, Tennessee, Auburn, LSU, Miami, North Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri is pretty good. USC, Notre Dame. Those should be a good Oregon, Washington. Wow, almost skipped over that. That'll be good.
Wait, that's what time is that game?
3:30.
Oh, dial me in. Asher's gonna get a lesson on old Pac-12 football, baby. And it's not even gonna be after dark, man.
I know.
He's gonna just
gonna freaking figure middle that thing of the day.
I'm excited about the weather starting to cool off up here, Chansey. You know, Athens, I know it's probably still a balmy 95 degrees down in Valdosta, but, you know.
Hey, we got to 80 today.
I think it was a low of, it's been kind of low in the 40s already up here for a little while, or for, you know, a few days now. But it's going to stay a little chilly, feel like fall. And, you know, come November, man, whenever you're coming up here for the Missouri game and the Ole Miss game, it's going to feel like football, my friend. Looking forward to it. This game this weekend, though, just just stay healthy. I completely agree with you. That's really the only thing that we have to worry about. Let's try to just, you know what we need to do is do exactly what we did in 2021, where it was just like the first quarter, I think we got up 28-0, which the new clock rules will probably help us not to be able to do that, but get up early and just put all our backups in. Backups on backups, and then just take care of business.
Yep, that's the message of the game. I think I was working that day, and the game started at noon, and I felt like I had already had everything closed up at the pharmacy by like 12:15, 12:30, and we were already up 21-0. And I was like, "What happened? Like, how did this?" And so that's exactly right. That's the combo we need going into Saturday. So anyway. Let's get her done and get into this weird stretch of weekends we have leading up to Jacksonville. But let's make it happen.
Sounds good, my friend. Go Dogs.
Dogs on top.